Good afternoon, Augustine. This is Mrs. Ward. I'm going to be reading to you chapters 22 and 23 from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. First, before I start, I'd like to give a shout out to Division 3, the Grade 4s. Here it goes for you. Chapter 22, Along the Corridor. "Well, well, well," sighed Mr. Willy Wonka. "Two naughty little children gone. Three good little children left. I think we better get out of this room quickly before we lose anyone else."
"But Mr. Wonka," said Charlie Bucket anxiously, "will Violet Beauregard ever be all right again, or will she always be a blueberry?"
"They'll dejuice her in no time flat," declared Mr. Wonka. "They'll roll her in the dejuicing machine, and she'll come out just as thin as a whistle."
"But will she still be blue all over?" asked Charlie.
"She'll be purple," cried Mr. Wonka. "A fine, rich purple from head to toe. But there you are. That's what comes from chewing disgusting gum all day long."
"If you think gum is so disgusting," said Mike Teevy, "then why do you make it in your factory?"
"I do wish you wouldn't mumble," said Mr. Wonka. "I can't hear a word you're saying. Come on, off we go. Hurry up, follow me. We're going into the corridors again."
And so saying, Mr. Wonka scuttled across to the far end of the inventing room and went out through the small secret door hidden behind a lot of pipes and stoves. The three remaining children, Veruca Salt, Mike Teevy, and Charlie Bucket, together with the five remaining grown-ups following after them. Charlie Bucket saw that they were now back in one of those long pink corridors, with many other pink corridors leading out of it. Mr. Wonka was rushing along in front, turning left and right and right and left, and Grandpa Joe kept saying,
"Keep a good hold of my hand, Charlie. It would be terrible to get lost in here."
Mr. Wonka was saying, "No time for any more messing about. We'll never get anywhere at this rate we've been going."
And on he rushed down the endless pink corridors, with his black top hat perched on top of his head and his plum-colored velvet coattails flying out behind him like a flag in the wind. They passed another door, then another, and another. There were doors every 20 paces or so along the corridor now, and they all had something written on them. And strange clanking noises were coming from behind several of them, and delicious smells came wafting through the keyholes, and sometimes little jets of colored steam shot out from the cracks underneath. Grandpa Joe and Charlie were half running and half walking to keep up with Mr. Wonka, but they were able to read what it said on quite a few of the doors as they hurried by. "Edible marshmallow pillows," it said on one.
"Marshmallow pillows are terrific," shouted Mr. Wonka as he dashed by. "They'll be all the rage when I get them into the shops. No time to go in, though, no time to go in."
"Lickable wallpaper for nurseries," it said on the next door.
"Lovely stuff, lickable wallpaper," cried Mr. Wonka rushing past. "It has pictures of fruits on it. Bananas, apples, oranges, grapes, pineapples, strawberries, and snozzberries."
"Snozzberries," said Mike Teevy.
"Don't interrupt," said Mr. Wonka. "The wallpaper has pictures of all these fruits printed on it, and when you lick the picture of a banana, it tastes like a banana. And when you lick a strawberry, it tastes of strawberry. And when you lick a snozzberry, it tastes just exactly like a snozzberry."
"But what does a snozzberry taste like?"
"You're mumbling again," said Mr. Wonka. "Speak louder next time. On we go. Hurry up."
"Hot ice creams for cold days," it said on the next door.
"Extremely useful in the winter," said Mr. Wonka, rushing on. "Hot ice cream warms you up. No end in freezing weather. I also make hot ice cubes for putting in hot drinks. Hot ice cubes make hot drinks hotter."
"Cows that give chocolate milk," it said on the next door.
"Ah, my pretty little cows," cried Mr. Wonka. "How I love those cows."
"But why can't we see them?" asked Veruca Salt. "Why do we have to go rushing on past all these lovely rooms?"
"We shall stop in time," called Mr. Wonka. "Don't be so madly impatient."
"Fizzy lifting drinks," it said on the next door.
"Oh, those are fabulous," cried Mr. Wonka. "They fill you with bubbles, and the bubbles are full of a special kind of gas. And the gas is so terrifically lifting that it lifts you right off the ground, just like a balloon. And up you go until your head hits the ceiling, and there you stay."
"But how do you come down again?" asked little Charlie.
"You do a burp, of course," said Mr. Wonka. "You do a great, big, long, rude burp. And up comes the gas, and down comes you. But don't drink it outdoors. There's no knowing how high up you'll be carried if you do that. I gave some to an old Oompa Loompa once out in the backyard, and he went up and up and up and disappeared out of sight. It was very sad. I never saw him again."
"He should have burped," Charlie said.
"Of course he should have burped," said Mr. Wonka. "I stood there shouting, 'Burp, you silly! Burp, or you'll never come down again.' But he didn't, or couldn't, or wouldn't. I don't know which. Maybe he was too polite. He must be on the moon by now."
On the next door, it said, "Square candies that look round."
"Wait!"
cried Mr. Wonka, skidding suddenly to a halt. "I am very proud of my square candies that look round. Let's take a peek." Chapter 23, Square Candies That Look Round. Everybody stopped and crowded to the door. The top half of the door was made of glass. Grandpa Joe lifted Charlie up so he could get a better view, and looking in, Charlie saw a long table, and on the long table were rows and rows of small, white, square-shaped candies. The candies looked very much like sugar square lumps, except that each of them had a funny little pink face painted on one side. At the end of the table, a number of Oompa Loompas were busily painting more faces on more candies.
"There you are!" cried Mr. Wonka. "Square candies that look round."
"They don't look round to me," said Mike TV.
"They look square," said Veruca Salt. "They look completely square."
"But they are square," said Mr. Wonka. "I never said they weren't."
You said they were round," said Veruca Salt.
"I never said anything of the sort," said Mr. Wonka. "I said they looked round."
"But they don't look round," said Veruca Salt. "They look square."
"They look round," insisted Mr. Wonka.
"They most certainly do not look round," cried Veruca Salt.
"Veruca, darling," said Mrs. Salt, "pay no attention to Mr. Wonka. He's lying to you."
"My dear old fish," said Mr. Wonka, "go and boil your head."
"How dare you speak to me like that?" shouted Mrs. Salt.
"Oh, do shut up," said Mr. Wonka. "Now watch this."
He took a key from his pocket and unlocked the door and flung it open. And suddenly, at the sound of the door opening, all the rows and rows of little square candies looked quickly around to see who was coming in. The tiny faces actually turned towards the door and stared at Mr. Wonka.
"There you are," he cried triumphantly. "They're looking round. There's no argument about it. They are square candies that look round."
"By golly, he's right," said Grandpa Joe.
"Come on," said Mr. Wonka, starting off down the corridor again. "On we go. We mustn't dawdle."
"Butterscotch and butter gin," it said on the next door they passed.
"Now that sounds a bit more interesting," said Mr. Salt, Veruca's father. "Glorious stuff," said Mr. Wonka. "The Oompa Loompas all adore it. It makes them tiddly. Listen, you can hear them in there now, whooping it up."
Shrieks of laughter and snatches of singing could be heard coming through the closed doors.
"They're drunk as lords," said Mr. Wonka. "They're drinking butterscotch and soda. They like that best of all. Butter, gin, and tonic is also very popular. Follow me, please. We really mustn't keep stopping like this."
He turned left. He turned right. Then he came to a long flight of stairs. Mr. Wonka slid down the banister. The three children did the same. Mrs. Salt and Mrs. Teavy, the only women now left in the party, were getting very out of breath. Mrs. Salt was a great fat creature with short legs, and she was blowing like a rhinoceros.
"This way!" cried Mr. Wonka, turning left at the bottom of the stairs.
"Go! Slower!" panted Mrs. Salt.
"Impossible!" said Mr. Wonka. "We should never get there in the time if we did."
"Get where?" asked Veruca Salt.
"Never you mind," said Mr. Wonka. "You just wait and see."